So if you'd like to turn to the passage tonight, which is Luke chapter 9, and verse 18. So Luke chapter 9, reading from verse 18. Now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old has risen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." And he strictly charged them and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed of when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels."
As we look into this passage, it's always good to have a look back at what's been going on and where we are throughout the Bible. So Jesus has not yet gone to the cross. We're in the part of the Bible before the cross, and people are waiting for the Messiah to come. Some know that it's Jesus, some don't. This is a time just like Abraham, when people were saved by faith in God. And that has not changed, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This passage builds on many parts of the Old Testament. Since Jesus is telling them here he is a Messiah, we know that some of the prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament are now being fulfilled through Jesus' life. And in this passage, it links with Isaiah 53, because Jesus lines his words up that he's going to die. Now, looking to the book of Luke, many claim that Luke wrote the book, and if this is true, then Luke appears to be the only Gentile that writes part of the Bible. Luke, being a Gentile, is writing to Theophilus that he may have certainty concerning the things that he has been taught. Theophilus had apparently received some information on the Christian gospel, so Luke writes this and the book of Acts, so Theophilus would know it was true what Jesus did because of the eyewitness accounts and Luke's careful research. Luke, being a Gentile, makes it clear in his gospel account that the gospel is not just for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. The gospel is for everyone, and Luke shows that. For example, in his genealogy, right back to Adam, to show that Jesus is the saviour of all people, not just the Jews. Before this passage, we have two ideas that link in with each other. We have in chapter 9, Jesus sending the apostles out. Get their provisions, and then we see in verses 10 to 17 Jesus shows them even more that they can trust him and rely on him by feeding the 5,000. But right in the middle of that, we see a question from Herod in chapter 9, verses 7 to 9. Herod is asking, "Who is Jesus?" Now, as we come into this passage tonight, we get the answer. So now, as we look close at this passage, I want us to go back nearly 2,000 years, AD 60 in Rome. Luke's just finished his gospel to Theophilus, a man most likely high up in the Roman Empire, a Gentile who Luke seeks to spread the gospel to. So imagine you're a Roman citizen, you've heard a little bit about Jesus, you've heard he's a good man, he helped people, he healed people, but you're not sure, and some people have said that he's been killed and then risen from the dead. This is what it would be like for the first hearers of this message. So let's go through three different points. The first one is from 18 to 20, which is who is Jesus? Then the second is 21 and 22, chapter 9, verses 21 and 22, which is why Jesus came. And then 23 to 26 is man's response. So who is Jesus? So back in 2002, a new television show started up again. Many of us will have heard of it and maybe watched it, called Top Gear. But on Top Gear, there is a character called the Stig. This character drives all sorts of cars, and on that show, he is unknown. He wears that helmet and you can't see who he is. The helmet he wears, it covers his face, so no one can tell who he really is. We would only know who he is if he took the helmet off so we could see who it was. This is similar to Jesus. If we look to Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 to 17. Matthew 16, verse 16. This is the same account as the one in Luke. Jesus said, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So all people on earth, because of sin, cannot see who Jesus really is unless God the Father reveals it to us. Just like the Stig, we cannot see who he is unless he takes the helmet away. The same is for Jesus. We cannot see who he really is unless God reveals it to us. So there is three main ideas of who Jesus is nowadays. The first idea is held by not many people. Even though there's the history of Jesus, some people believe that Jesus was never real. He was just a made-up character and never actually existed. That's what some people hold their view. They don't want to think about Jesus. To them, he's just a swear word. The second view on Jesus, which is commonly held today, is that he was a good man. He was a prophet. He helped out people. But after that, he was just a man. It doesn't affect their lives. They see him just as somebody who lived a long time ago. Then the third view on Jesus is that he is God. He came down to earth, lived as a man and God. Jesus, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. And we see this in this passage, verse 20. The Christ of God. This means God's Messiah, or God's anointed. Therefore, he was chosen by God and qualified to do God's will on earth. There are many views on Jesus, but after all, there is only one true view of Jesus. Because Jesus claimed to be God in John 8, verse 58, and John 10, verse 30, Jesus is either God or he isn't God. We can only hold one view on that. We cannot sit on the fence. So Jesus says to the disciples, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" And the disciples gave him many different views of the crowds, what they said, but all were incorrect. Even though the crowds were wrong, they show their views on Jesus, that he is special, he is a special person. But as we know, the crowds, they were incorrect. Jesus directs a question to the disciples. Who do you say that I am? In other words, are you following the crowds? Are you sticking with man's wisdom about me? Or do you have another more insightful answer? Peter speaks up and shows us that the disciples knew Jesus was more than a prophet. He was the Messiah and the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God, and what we believe about Jesus will affect firstly our lives and secondly our eternity. Knowing that Jesus is God will bring us to trust him and trust whatever he says, that anything is true because he is God. And that brings us to our next point, is why did Jesus come to earth? So verses 21 and 22. And he strictly charged them and commanded them to tell this no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. So this is simple and clear, that Jesus came to earth to die for mankind, for the sin of mankind. Jesus came to earth as God. Because he was God in human flesh, he was able to live a life perfect, full obedience to the law. Not a spot of blemish was in Jesus. And because he was perfect and divine, he was able to be killed. And God's plan to sacrifice Jesus for the sin of the world, because Jesus never sinned, he was able to pay for the sin. Pay for our sin. And if anybody would come to Jesus, knowing that they've sinned, admit they've sinned, come to him for forgiveness, their sin would be paid for by Jesus. What would happen was our sin would be exchanged with Jesus' righteousness. And God would no longer look at us looking at our sin. He would look at Jesus. He would see Jesus. And because Jesus is acceptable to God, he would look at us and see Jesus, and therefore we become right with God because of what Jesus did for us. That's why Jesus came, to bring humans back to God. We read 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. So now what is a right response to this? Verses 22 to 26. If you believe verses 18 to 22, verses 23 to 26 should characterize your life. Jesus is calling his disciples to deny themselves, take their cross, take up their cross daily and follow him. What did this mean for the disciples? By nature, the disciples would seek comfort, pleasure, and seek to keep their own life in doing what they desire. The disciples also had in mind that when Messiah would come, that he would come and the Roman Empire and bring Israel out of bondage to Rome. They believed he was coming to restore Israel. Jesus saying he's going to die will have been a shock to them and go against all what they believed. Peter even tells Jesus in the other account in Mark that he won't die, and Peter rebukes Jesus. The disciples had a wrong view of Jesus by nature, so he calls them to deny themselves and take up their cross daily. What does this mean? To deny yourself is to say no to the desires of our bodies, of our flesh, is to say, I look to Jesus and what he says, not what anyone else says, or what I think or feel, but I look to Jesus. Taking up our cross is full commitment to Jesus. Whatever he says, we will do. For whoever would save his life would lose it. If we want to live our lives and do whatever we want, Jesus said, one day you will lose it. If we are to gain the whole world but forfeit ourselves, what profit will that bring? This describes the unbeliever's life. They will also be ashamed of Jesus, not wanting Jesus in their lives. They want to keep their lives for themselves. The one who believes in Jesus will deny himself, will take up his cross and will follow Jesus. Therefore, he loses his life. He who loses his life will gain and find true life in Jesus. So I wonder tonight, who do you say Jesus is? I'm sure nearly all of us here tonight would say that Jesus is the Son of God and the only way to heaven. You see, you can say Jesus is God with our words. We can say he's our God with our words. But do we say Jesus is God with our actions? Who we view Jesus as is proved in the way we live. Not that we earn our salvation by obeying God, but because we are accepted by him. So let me tell you who your God is, who our God is. Let me tell you who your God is. What do you think about most? What goes through your mind the most? The thing you think about most is the thing you love the most. I wonder tonight, have we strayed away from Jesus? I wonder if maybe at one time you were living this, denying yourselves and you were living for Jesus, and then you've gone back into sin, you've gone back into self-pleasure. I wonder if that's you tonight. At one time you were really seeking God, you were living for Jesus, but you've fallen back into your old ways. We all know if that's us. And I'd plead with you tonight to turn back to Jesus. Come back to him. Don't waste your life. Live for him. He will accept you back. He's willing to guide you back. But don't continue away from Jesus. Come back to him and commit your life to him. I wonder tonight if you're somebody who has always been to church and always thought saved, but it's never impacted your life. The word's never impacted your life. You just come each week, and then the rest of the week you live like an unbeliever. Jesus Christ died that you might live. He made a way that you might be saved. If you trust in his finished work on the cross, you would be saved. Before I was a Christian, if you were to ask me, who do I say Jesus was, I would say, yeah, he's the Son of God. But if you looked at the rest of my life, you would see that I didn't truly believe. It's a tragic thing to know about Jesus in our minds, but not to know him in our hearts. If you tonight want to be a Christian, you must throw away your life for Christ. But to throw away your life for Christ is to gain life forever. For what profit is it for a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? We hear all weird stories of people who have sold their souls to the devil. And you hear the stories like it's something unusual. When most people in this world today do it every day, they trade their souls for what the world offers. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but it costs him his soul? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. What a sobering warning from Jesus. If I confess him before men, he will confess me before the Father. If we say to our friends, we love Jesus and he is the Son of God, and I'm prepared to follow him at whatever cost, if we say that and mean it and do it, Jesus will confess us to the Father. But if we are ashamed of Jesus and we are hiding Jesus from people, we don't want them to think we're weird or strange. If we are ashamed of Jesus, he will be ashamed of us when we come before him on that last day. Can you think of anything worse than that? So I'll leave us with the question that we started with. Who do you think Jesus is, and what difference does it make in your life? So we'll close by singing When I Survey Wondrous Growth.